This New Testament reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?' He looked round at them all, and then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus."
Luke chapter 6 and verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I don't know how free you feel. We seem to live in a nation that if you break the laws often enough, they'll change the law to accommodate you. We also seem to be in a nation where laws are proliferating. Very difficult to say things without offending someone. Very difficult to do something without in some ways breaking the law. For the Jews at the time of Jesus, and still for many, many Jews today, the Sabbath is a critical part of their faith. Now, I don't know what comes to mind for you when you think of the word Sabbath. Could go around, and we might find, and we're about 30 perhaps of us here, we'll probably have, I haven't counted honest, that was only a rough estimate, I'm not very good at estimates, but probably find almost 30 different answers in many ways. But for the Jewish people at the time of Jesus, they knew exactly what they meant by Sabbath. They took themselves back, of course, to Exodus chapter 20 and verses 8 to 11. And here we have the Ten Commandments as set down by Moses following his visit to the top of Mount Sinai. And here in verses 8 to 11 of chapter 20, we read these words. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That, for the Jew at the time of Jesus, and for many Jews even today, was a strict command, just as the other nine commandments were. And whilst we hesitate to criticize another's faith, we do need to understand that the problem that the Pharisees had with Jesus on this particular Sabbath, or maybe it was two separate Sabbaths that we read about in our gospel reading from the book of Luke. The Pharisees were zealous for the law. And the words that I read at the beginning of the service from Psalm 119, if you can remember, I won't read all of it again, but just remember, I'm not going to read the whole of Psalm 119 either, but just verses 33 to 36. This would have resonated with them down through the ages. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. This would have been a vital part of their lives. This keeping of God's law. And for the Pharisees and for the leaders of the Jewish people at this time, the law was everything that God expected of them. We need to be clear here, I think, that the Pharisees were not wrong in protecting the special nature of the Sabbath. We'll return to that a little bit later on. It was a command of God, and they were right to obey such a command. But the problem lay in the fact that they had surrounded this one law with a multitude of other laws that they decided were needed in order to clarify exactly what it was that God was trying to say. Now, there's a danger with preachers on that one. I think God is very clear in what he wants to say. And really what preachers are doing is not trying to clarify what God said, but to remind people of what God has said. But for the Jewish leaders at the time, they had a problem, because it seemed that just saying keep the Sabbath day holy was not enough. There's a danger in our modern world too that the church can be guilty of such an approach. I have much empathy with the Keep Sunday Special Brigade. But there are times when, for me, they also hedge the Christian special day with unnecessary legalism. I'd like to return to that in a moment, and maybe some of you are part of the Keep Sunday Special organization. In the area of Sabbath observances, the Pharisees had an especially large number accumulation of rules. Listen to this. Just associated with the Sabbath, they had 1,521 mini laws. And one of them said, you're not allowed to rescue a drowning man on the Sabbath. Quite where they got them all from, I'm not sure. But 1,521 laws hedged around this one command of God. And strict Jews today still observe the Sabbath from sunset on the Friday evening until sunset on the Saturday. But when they tried to hedge God's command around with their many laws, I believe they lost the sense of what the command of God was meant to do. And this is what brought them into conflict with Jesus. Jesus and his disciples were walking through a wheat field, or maybe it was a barley field, just before harvest. They had been using a field path, and as they walked, they were helping themselves to hands full of grain. They would rub the grains together, dislodge the husks, throw away the chaff, and eat the corn. Now, this was allowed in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 12. Let me find the right reading. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 12. I think I found the right, let me find the right place. Verse 25 even. Sorry about that, if you're looking for it. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 25. If you enter your neighbor's cornfield, you may pick the ears with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to his standing corn. Now that wasn't the problem for the Pharisees. The fact that the disciples were actually picking the ears of corn, it was allowed. And these paths were deliberately left, a little bit like our footpaths these days. What offended them was the fact that the disciples were doing it on the Sabbath. Now, I don't know how far that Jesus and his disciples had walked that day, and whether the Pharisees had kept track of them all the time, but it is quite possible that the Pharisees had broken one of their own laws, but simply by following them, because they were only allowed to walk a certain distance on the Sabbath day. And it's quite possible that they'd already walked too far and broken one of their commands anyway. But here they were up in arms because the disciples were doing this thing on the Sabbath. It's very interesting. If you read the Talmud, which are the extra laws that the Jewish leaders had put around the commandments, it says this. In case a woman rolls wheat to remove the husks, it is considered a sifting. If she rubs the heads of wheat, it is considered threshing. If she cleans off the side adherences, it is sifting out fruit. If she bruises the ears, it is grinding. If she throws them up in her hand, it is winnowing. And this is not allowed on the Sabbath day because it is work. And the disciples were doing it all. The Pharisees must have been looking for the breaking of such a Sabbath law because they constantly followed Jesus around, because they were constantly trying to catch him out in some misdemeanor or other. Have you noticed that with sports people and personalities? The press is always delighted. Following them around, the paparazzi, always delighted when they find them doing something that they think they shouldn't be doing. And they get their names plastered across the front of the paper. And that's what the Pharisees, they were doing exactly the same thing. They didn't have their cameras, but they were there constantly looking to catch him out. Now, Jesus doesn't try to justify this apparent breach of God's law about working on the Sabbath. Nor did he take the Pharisees to task for surrounding the commandment about with such a multitude of many laws. He did what he often did, nearly always, if you read Scripture. He wrong-footed those who were condemning him by referring them to the Scriptures. And he refers them to the time recorded in 1 Samuel 21 when David was running away from King Saul. For the first time, this was. And David had been told by Saul's son, Jonathan, that Saul was seeking to kill him. And David ran away. But he ran away unprovisioned with some of the followers that went with him. And we're told that he went into the house of God. And there, Ahimelech the priest met with him. And Jesus reminds the Pharisees of all this. David, their great hero, their great father of the nation in many ways, after Abraham. And David tells a lie. David tells a lie. In order to get the bread that is set aside purely and wholly for the priests. The bread, the show bread, the 12 loaves that were placed there, a reminder of the tribes of Israel, had to be eaten only by the priest, and that had to be eaten in a holy place. And David asks for some of it. He asked for it because he says, the king has sent me on a special mission. No, he hadn't. He was running away from King Saul. And he said, I need 5 loaves for me and for my followers. And on the basis of a lie, the bread that is pure and holy and is surrounded by another amount of laws set by the people, by the leaders of the people, is given to David. And he eats it. The Pharisees were wrong-footed. What could they say? Here was their great ancestor. Being reminded, they would have known the story well enough. They didn't really need Jesus to tell them what had happened. But being told that he had eaten what had been holy. And he was really saying, well, was David wrong then? I think Jesus is trying to make the point that human need should override pure legalism. Mark's gospel adds the telling comment of Jesus to this story that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We'll come back to that statement again in a moment. It's a crucial statement and one that caused his hearers problems, but not as much as the one that he makes in our gospel reading from Luke chapter 6, and one that I've taken as our theme and our text for today. Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Oh dear, now the poor leaders, church leaders, were in a real tis over what he's saying now. By saying that, Jesus was claiming himself to be God. Because God had set aside the Sabbath, and Jesus was saying, I, the Son of Man, am Lord of the Sabbath. I'm King of the Sabbath day. This would have caused them more problems than the ears of corn being taken as they walked through the cornfield. Luke includes a final incident to illustrate the fact that Jesus himself declares himself to be King of the Sabbath. I suppose that it is possible that the Pharisees had deliberately placed the man with the withered hand in the congregation on that Sabbath day. I think it's possible, in order to try and catch Jesus out. Well, whatever. They were not to be disappointed by what Jesus did. He did exactly what they'd hoped, and so they'd have more ammunition to accuse him. He told the withered man to reach out his hand, and it was made whole. Now, it's interesting that when Matthew records this incident, he reports that the Pharisees then went off to plan to kill Jesus. It seems that although they didn't like the commandment about the Sabbath being broken, they didn't have a lot of trouble with breaking the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. So what are we to learn from these two incidents? I don't know what your Sabbath, we'll come back to why we've used Sunday, and I'm sure you know why. Well, let me tell you now, it was Constantine in, I think it was the year 321, the Emperor Constantine declared Sunday as a special day of rest, of course, because that is the day when we remember the resurrection of our Lord. And if we were to be strictly adhering to God's word, we would be keeping Saturday if we were to be taking the Sabbath day. But I don't know what your Sundays were like as a child. Let me just briefly tell you mine. We went to church 3 times. Sunday morning, worship. Sunday afternoon, Sunday school. Sunday evening, worship. No radio. We didn't have television when I was a boy. That's how old I am. No radio other than at 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening, and you can still listen to it. I think it's 8 o'clock. Sunday half hour. no books other than books that were edifying. No comics. I wasn't allowed to read my comics. I was allowed to have comics, but I wasn't allowed to read them on a Sunday. No newspapers on a Sunday. It's only much later that I realized that the newspaper that we read on Monday, of course, was printed on Sunday and prepared on Sunday. So really, it would have been better to have the Sunday paper, not the Monday paper. But we were hedged round with laws. I wasn't allowed out to play on a Sunday. You didn't go out to play with your friends on a Sunday. Now, I'm not blaming my parents. I had a wonderful childhood, and I was blessed as a child, where I was brought up and how I was brought up. But I was surrounded by legalism, particularly where Sunday was concerned. And what does Jesus say? Nowhere does Jesus give justification for breaking the Sabbath day rules, or the rule of the Sabbath day, the one rule. We're told that it was his custom to attend the synagogue on the Sabbath. And nowhere is it reported that he or his disciples did any work other than the work that the Pharisees decided they were doing when they were threshing and winnowing the corn with their hands. The Sabbath, or Sunday for Christians, is special. It is still special and should give us time to commune with God and to rest. But his declaration recorded in Mark's Gospel that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath is an echo of the Old Testament law with which the Pharisees would have been familiar. And this is my last reading that I want to just bring to your attention. It is from Exodus chapter 23 and verse 12, where it says this: 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household, and the alien as well, may be refreshed. The laws about the Sabbath were not made to make our life more difficult or to be restrictive, but to help us. And I believe that Sabbath is more of an attitude of mind than necessarily a specific day. Take pastors and ministers, for example. When do they take their Sabbath? I used to joke with a friend of mine who was a minister of the Methodist Church. The only day of the week you work is the day when you're not supposed to. Of course, I expect Kate, I don't know what day she takes off. But in a sense, that is her Sabbath. A day when she draws aside from the routine of work and spends time alone, maybe with family, and certainly in preparation and with God. We need to be careful in our present world that within the church we do not get caught up in legalism that separates man from God. A modern-day rules-based religion is no more than modern-day Phariseeism. Our task is to reach out as Jesus reached out to meet the physical and the spiritual needs of those around us. The religion of Jesus is simple, and I'm going to read what I wrote here. It starts with a love for God and works itself out in love for our fellow men. It flows from a heart yielded to God, not a mind schooled in regulations. If we choose to follow God in this way, it is possible to bring ourselves into conflict with the strict members of our churches. That doesn't mean to say we set out deliberately to be different, but it does mean that not everyone will see it as we do. But the life that Jesus calls us to live is one where people with shriveled hands are encouraged to stretch them out to receive a touch from God, no matter what day it is. We're not called to a life stifled by rules that prevents people from coming close to him, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. I want to finish by reading to you a piece from the Jewish Kiddush ritual, a prayer that is used each Sabbath day by strict Jews today. It says this: "Come, let us welcome the Sabbath in joy and peace. Like a bride radiant and joyous comes the Sabbath. It brings blessings to our hearts and cares are put aside. The brightness of the Sabbath light shines forth to tell that the divine spirit of love abides within our home. In that light, all our blessings are enriched, all our griefs and trials are softened." And in his book, Keeping the Sabbath Holy, Marv Adorn writes, commenting on this particular prayer, "So too may our Christian observances of the Sabbath be filled with light and loveliness, so that the radiance and joy of the day can soften our griefs and trials and bring beauty to the other days of our week." The Sabbath is meant for refreshment, for the refreshment of man, because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath.